Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Wednesday, December 16th, 2020. And I didn't mean to get fixated on Joe Biden and his 12-year-old teeth, but here we are. So just to finish the excerpt from Ben Schrechinger's article that I mentioned, the August 2019 article titled Biden Inc., how middle-class Joe's family cashed in on the family name. And that's even a story that, you know, a scrappy kid who grew up on the mean streets of Scranton, Pennsylvania, except not really. That's a story that has resurfaced recently as well as not entirely true. In fact, largely fictitious. But from the article... So, you know, speaking of the corruption, this scheme that, all right, so at the same time James and Sarah were planning to open an influence shop with Patterson and Balducci, the Mississippians were being investigated by the FBI over a scheme to bribe a judge to rule in favor of Scruggs in a dispute over legal bills. In September, the FBI picked up a wiretapped phone call between the Mississippians in which Balducci told Patterson, we really need to push on a Senate bill. We're going to meet with the Bidens around noon. And he mentioned meeting with black farmers, quote unquote, as I mentioned. It's unclear whether the meeting occurred at the time Biden was backing legislation to compensate black farmers who had faced discrimination when seeking loans and subsidies from the Department of Agriculture. A month later, in October 2007, plans for the lobbying firm were derailed when Balducci was arrested for leaving an envelope full of cash on the judge's desk while being videotaped by the feds. After the scandal erupted in public, in the midst of the presidential campaign, Biden returned donations from the two men and Scruggs. In 2008, Scruggs pleaded guilty to his role in the scheme and was sentenced to 5 years in prison. In 2009, Balducci and Patterson each received two-year sentences. Before he published the book, Wilkie, who covered Joe Biden's career on the Newcastle County Council as a local Delaware reporter in the 1970s, said he reached out to the vice president's office to offer him a briefing on its contents. Wilkie said he never heard back. And then, you know, again, the disclaimer, there is no allegation that James Biden was a party to his would-be colleague's misdeeds or was even aware of them before their arrests. But Wilkie said he is nevertheless shocked that James' association with the crew has not received greater attention. Quote, I thought surely someone in Washington would pick up on this thing because of the Biden name, he said. The whole thing was indiscreet at best, quote unquote. So, you know, that just sort of categorizes every time Biden Inc. Is involved in some kind of venture, then there's corruption, there's scandal, there's racketeering, there's laundering, there's fraud, there's, you know, Ponzi. It's always the case. Extortion, bribery, blackmail, things that Joe Biden brags about. But, you know, somehow Biden Inc. just always seems to go scot-free. It's amazing. Really remarkable. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, Ben Schreckinger's article is one of the best. And, you know, according to Senator Ron Johnson, who's been kind of at the heart of the effort to dig a little deeper into this, the congressional effort, Biden Inc. reached its zenith around, really got traction around 2013. So that's interesting as well. And I guess I'll leave that there. There was one other video that I was going to mention at least, and I can't find it, so I'll skip that. The Case Demick, I mentioned that a little bit. Montana is one of the best representatives in the county. I had a conversation with a gentleman, you know, 9 deaths total. Where did those happen, by the way? I wouldn't call that a lot. You know, there are places in Montana. I've talked about W.R. Grace, the Grace family, actually, you know, is one of those patriarchal dynastic families. Peter Grace was the head of Reagan's Grace Commission, which told us that not a single penny of your income taxes that you shouldn't be paying anyway go to build a single bridge or road or school or anything like that. They service the debt on, you know, to the Federal Reserve effectively. So that was an interesting kind of, I would say, oops, that wasn't something that the general public was supposed to hear about and then seize upon as prima facie evidence of a crime that was committed about 100 years ago or that was formalized. But, you know, the Grace family was involved in this mining operation that knew from the very beginning 100 years ago that it was producing carcinogenic elements, even though they were telling the local people to make cookie recipes with this stuff, vermiculite and waste products. So in an area like that, that has been a Superfund site, you're going to have a lot of people with respiratory issues anyway. So I would say 9 deaths is a small number when I would expect a much higher number. And then, so where did those occur? And again, this gets back to the issue of long-term care facilities and places like that. Why is more not being done? Why are we not hearing about preventative care or, you know, early outpatient care, so to speak? And so, you know, we are seeing the perversion of truth. Jefferson, August 19, 1785, wrote a letter. In a letter to Peter Carr, he wrote, "He who permits himself to tell a lie once finds it much easier to do it a second time and a third time, till at length it becomes habitual. He tells lies without attending to it, and truth without the words believing him. This falsehood of the tongue leads to that of the heart, and in time depraves all its good dispositions." I think that's kind of what characterizes what we have going on at a societal level. You know, if there's a systemic issue, it's this kind of thing. It's the Machiavellian intrigue and deception, Bernaysian sort of way. And as James Corbett categorized it in Big Oil, big oil series, you know, a country, a society that has been groomed in the fashion of William Devil Bill Avery Livingston Rockefeller, the original snake oil salesman, so to speak. Anyway, I want to give you a couple of things. There it is. This is the one I want to give you. A lot of lies floating around. I want to give you Dr. Peter McCullough telling the truth. Let's see. Where are we here? Okay. Yeah. Lots of stuff floating around. I want to talk more about the Lego thing in a little bit. Yeah. And also kind of where all of this is headed. You know, people should be legitimately concerned. There is the security issue. You've probably heard about, you know, all the agencies being hacked. What's that all about? Edward Snowden told us, and that's just a, you know, another failing forward initiative. Maybe I'll talk about that. There are a million headlines that I planned on getting into, but with regard to the kind of what's going on, you know, there are a lot of lies. Obviously, the whole, you know, this whole, the case-demic or whatever you want to call it, is largely, if not entirely, a put-up job. And we heard Andrew Wakefield sort of touch on that in the first segment of today's broadcast. But with more on that, here is Dr. Peter Bregan interviewing Dr. Peter McCullough. Go ahead, please.
Entirely, my identity is a reformer in psychiatry. We decided that our energies had to go into this larger issue and that we had skills to apply to it from all the work looking at psychiatric research and things like that. One of the things that people are going to be just wondering so much about is, why is this happening? Why is this shutdown going on? I'm not sure whether to talk about that now at all or leave it for another day or for my own stuff. Are you interested in getting into that at all for people today?
Yeah, well, let me make a few comments. Since March, I've been very active in this area. With the first healthcare worker hydroxychloroquine study, I basically wrote the investigational new drug application with a team at my institution. And we worked with the FDA over a weekend, and we got that IND awarded. So the FDA early on was all hands on deck. Let's do anything we possibly can to advance the cause and treat the disease. And so things were actually pretty good, I would say, in March and April. But around, there's several things that happened in April and early May that were interesting. It became sufficiently known that the virus was going to be amenable to a vaccine, that there were neutralizing antibodies to the spike protein of the virus. It looks like those antibodies could be stimulated. So when that information became known, I think there was a whole array of stakeholders that came into the arena in terms of vaccine. The second thing that happened is there was some in-hospital therapeutics. And the U.S. federal government stepped forward and said, listen, we're going to pay for every single COVID hospitalization. The very first therapeutic was remdesivir. The U.S. government says, we'll buy the remdesivir. So Gilead had a sweetheart deal with remdesivir. Remdesivir was a failed Ebola drug and, as it turned out, had liver toxicity and problems and has had kind of in clinical studies in the hospital. Clearly wasn't a game changer. Other hospital therapies, convalescent plasma and people trying to donate plasma, inconsistent track record. Other forms of immunotherapies one by one failed. And so we've been left with remdesivir, which had an emergency use. Two recent additions, one a Lilly monoclonal antibody, which has been approved. It actually worsened inpatient hospital outcomes, but improved pre-hospital outcomes. But it was dependent on 4-patient difference in the number of events, the number of hospitalizations in the final secondary endpoint of which the FDA approved. So in an unprecedented fashion, FDA has approved the shakiest drug of all time to be used in patients pre-hospital, which is bamlanivimab. It's a monoclonal antibody, meaning that if one hospitalization in the bamlanivimab arm simply wasn't reported, or if a patient was lost to follow-up or was hospitalized elsewhere, that entire trial would have been neutral. But yet the FDA and others are, and the guidelines are saying that that it's out there to be used. There is a Regeneron pair of antibodies, which recently was approved a few days ago, and I haven't had a chance to review the data. But going back to April, what happened is we knew it was amenable to a vaccine. We knew that there was great incentives to hospitals to actually hospitalize patients and recruit these revenues, and we knew Gilead became a stakeholder. So then what became the problem? The problem became early ambulatory treatment. And at the time, the lead drug was hydroxychloroquine. And you can imagine this is going to really pour a lot of cold water on any vaccine program if we can treat this at home. It's going to drop the number of hospitalizations. And so health systems aren't going to necessarily like that from a revenue perspective. And so as the NIH launched their one and only multiple drug trial, it was hydroxychloroquine versus azithromycin. They actually launched it in May. They promptly shut it down in June. They were supposed to recruit 2,000 patients. And Dr. Bregan, I can tell you, they only recruited 20 patients. It's beyond explanation. And when you look at the list of NIH officers, it becomes obvious that some of these NIH officers had patent positions on vaccines. So there was a giant conflict of interest within the NIH of actually doing research with generic available drugs to help the people and actually making this gamble on the vaccine. At the same time, there was fraudulent papers that started to be published. There was one published in New England Journal of Medicine and one in Lancet from the same data set. The one in New England Journal of Medicine was based on ACE inhibitors, so not so controversial a charge, still fake data. But in Lancet, this fake paper, when I looked at it immediately, I knew it had to be falsified because it was on 70,000 patients hospitalized with COVID-19. Yeah. The average age was 45 in the tables. And we don't hospitalize 45-year-olds. So I knew this had to be concocted data. And the conclusion of the Lancet paper was hydroxychloroquine was causing harm. Well, Lancet and New England Journal of Medicine are considered the best journals in medicine. In an unprecedented way, they left these out in publication for about 2 weeks. And it literally scared the world on hydroxychloroquine before it was finally redacted. Since that time, there's been tons of pylon editorials, dismissive statements. There was one in JAMA today from an infectious disease expert who is slamming the door shut on hydroxychloroquine, saying lessons learned. And then when we look at the bottom and it says his conflict of interest, it says receives funding from Gilead Sciences. So the JAMA, New England Journal of Medicine, Lancet, they are now rife with conflict of interest, academic fraud. In fact, I actually tried to write JAMA about that paper, and it says, we're not accepting letters to the editor. On there's no more academic discourse. Some doctors are under public gag orders from their institutions. There's a prominent institution in Henry Ford that to this day has published one of the largest studies on hydroxychloroquine. They're under formal gag orders. Gag orders. Can you imagine a time when doctors were not free to talk about medical problems? What if we had a gag order about schizophrenia, or we had a gag order on myocardial infarction or stroke or diabetes? It's unprecedented what's going on. So we've had academic fraud. We've had conflict of interest within the NIH in redirecting things. This summer, I published a editorial in The Hill called The Great Gamble of the COVID-19 Epidemic. And basically in this, I said it became clear that the NIH and the federal government had a program for research called Warp Speed, Well, Warp Speed was basically prioritizing the vaccine and deprioritizing everything else. Everything else has been slow walked. All these oral treatment trials have all been administratively stopped early. They declare no benefit. Doctors are sold a line that says, listen, nothing works for COVID-19. Just sit in fear, in isolation, and wait for the vaccine and let as many people die and be hospitalized. That's going to happen. And that's become the party line in the United States. It's even worse in Canada. In Canada, there is no treatment permitted, not even azithromycin. In Canada, they cleared the shelves of zinc. And I can tell you, I have relatives in Canada. They went to try to get zinc, and the explanation was the government took it all. United Kingdom absolutely prohibited any home treatment at all. Western EU, the same thing, none whatsoever. Australia is the worst. In Queensland, Australia, if a doctor tries to help a patient by treating them for COVID-19 with hydroxychloroquine, that doctor can be put in jail, according to laws that were put on the books in April of 2020. So what I'm telling you is what's going on in the world right now, the world is off its axis. What's going on is unprecedented in terms of the severity and the restriction of our freedoms, of fraudulent activity, conflict of interest, and then stakeholders aligning around either very expensive therapeutics, which either don't work or they're not generalizable or applicable, or the vaccine. And the vaccine now, with Operation Warp Speed, has had billions and billions of dollars of investment. It's linked at multiple levels, including the World Health Organization, the Gates Foundation, White House Task Force, NIH, the different vaccine manufacturers. This is a giant, giant operation. It's been relatively clear that the markets for the vaccine are a few South American countries, United States, Canada, UK, Western EU, and Australia. That's clear. Those are the same markets for which early home treatment is either completely blocked or prevented, or there's tremendous barriers to providing any treatment to individuals at home. The other markets that are not even on the map for vaccines, including India, Bangladesh, the eastern part of the EU, Central America, there in those countries, they give out home treatment kits. They completely, and vaccine's not going to even be an issue. These countries that are treating patients with early home treatment achieve deaths per million population numbers less than 100 deaths per million population. The countries like the United States, which are really making it hard to deliver home treatment, and by the way, all the patients who get hospitalized and die receive no treatment, none. So their first treatment is when they come in the hospital. United States, we have 800 deaths per million population. It's night and day. It's absolutely night and day. So the principles of early home treatment, in my view, are supported through these observational data. Now, the argument we had in the Senate from the minority witnesses, well, you don't have evidence. It's an old academic game. You don't have enough evidence to convince me. Well, the government had all the money. They folded on doing any research in this area. Okay.
There you go. That was, again, Dr. Peter McCullough, who, you know, he alluded there in that last little bit that he said, the Senate Homeland Security Committee hearings last month, November, there were the more recent hearings last week, and those were provocative and eye-opening as well, but he didn't testify in that hearing. So, you know, the allusion there was to Dr. Ashish Jha, who again had to admit when confronted by Senator Ron Johnson that Ashish Jha had not seen a single COVID patient. He hadn't treated any COVID patients. You know, he was doing his moral posturing. And I just, it's an outrage. And my colleagues, I extend professional courtesy, except he doesn't, because he wrote a hit piece about the people testifying, calling them snake oil salesmen, when actually he's part of the snake oil contingent that was formed in the fashion of William Double Bill Avery Livingston Rockefeller, quite literally, actually. And, a lot of people have been talking, again, the resurfacing of the Flexner Report, Simon's brother Abraham, you know, helping to sort of formalize this institution. But it's much bigger than what most people realize. And that's kind of what I was thinking about. You know, one of the things that maybe will play, for those who don't know who Dr. Peter McCullough is, well, I haven't seen him on C-SPAN, so he must be nobody. Actually, he's very credentialed, so maybe we'll let him speak to his credentials. He is an MD who has treated COVID patients. He is he does have a master's in public health. He is he's the guy that you would want to have, you know, spearheading the pandemic response. You know, he's the guy that you would want to pick to spearhead the White House coronavirus task force, for example. If I was going to pick somebody, I'd probably pick Dr. Peter McCullough, because he's very credentialed. He's very he has a very wide bandwidth when it comes to the data. As that, you know, he even mentioned, I mean, he mentioned his credentials during his Senate committee hearing, and also sort of touched on it at the beginning of the interview with Dr. Peter Bregan. So maybe we'll do that, but this is much, much bigger. And so maybe I'll get into that a little bit. I mean, it again, you know, don't want to scare people, but speaking of the Rockefeller contingent and the creation of this stuff, in the video, True Stream Media video that Aaron Melissa Dykes published back in February, a stunning admission on the so-called population crisis, February 10, I think is when they published that. Yeah. They included a link, you know, you read the description about this, you know, well, the description reads, it's kind of insane to be living through this time where admissions of what used to be considered crazy conspiracy theories are just rolling out in the headlines like it's nothing. Exactly. And this just continues to happen. When we were talking about this a decade ago, tinfoil hat jokes were not only made but expected. And then they include New York Times, January 2020 International Edition, with the article, China Faces a Population Crisis Anew, but by Ross Douthat. But continuing, the description reads, now mainstream authoritative publications like the New York Times, albeit the International Edition with the label of opinion, are printing stories on the front page not only acknowledging a global fertility crisis, quote unquote, but actually admitting population control evils like China's horrific one-child policy weren't just imposed by the state, but were dreamed up, funded, and promoted by Western technocrats. But to what end? But, ellipsis, dot, 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 to what end? And the point is, down at the bottom, by the state, but were dreamed up, funded, and promoted by Western technocrats, is linked to Lily E. Kay's book, The Molecular Vision of Life, Caltech, the Rockefeller Foundation, and the Rise of the New Biology, Monographs on the History and Philosophy of Biology. And so that's kind of the convergence of what we're seeing now with all of this cybersecurity stuff, if you're watching the headlines, and the COVID stuff, and the, what did we hear? What have we heard all along? You know, you need to basically lock yourself indoors, hermetically seal yourself off from the rest of the world, cower in fear, and be afraid, be very afraid until a vaccine rolls out. Have we heard anything along the lines of what we just heard Dr. Peter McCullough say? Have we heard what, I think we played the clip of Vladimir Zelenko yesterday, didn't we? And him saying, you know what? If you're under 60, you don't have a pile of comorbidities, you'll be fine. Have we heard that? No. Stick around. I'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour already of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Wednesday, December 16th, 2020. So we did play this yesterday. This was the excerpt from Rudy Giuliani's March interview of Dr. Vladimir Zelenko. When Zelenko, who is one of the folks, you know, that even Dr. Peter McCullough mentioned in that interview with Peter Bregan, the folks who are actually treating people on the front lines, things are working. They usually mention folks like Didier Roualt, Vladimir Zelenko, and people who are doctors who are courageous enough to practice medicine, as folks like Ron Johnson, Senator Ron Johnson have said, and to try something instead of just cowering in fear and saying, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. And as far as the there's nothing else we can do, even though there's lots else we can do, is concerned, and the disparity in treatment and pursuing alternatives and things. Again, we played the clip of Dr. Jane Orient in the recent Senate committee hearings touching on that. And you know, so that clip, I don't know, maybe we should play that again at some point, because she really spoke to the distinction that, again, the book, well, I'll come back to that in a second. Here's Dr. Vladimir Zelenko. Remember, we played this clip yesterday. Go ahead, please.
And this is to the American people. If you're young and healthy, you'll be fine.
The parameters are, if you're young and healthy, you'll be fine.
Your immune system is strong enough. Statistically, it's been proven you will recover. You may be miserable for 2 weeks, but you will recover. You'll be fine.
Your immune system all by itself, unaided by anything, will defeat the COVID.
Statistically, that's been the case, yes.
Would you?
There you go. So, and then, of course, you know, we played the broader clip yesterday in which Zelenko goes on to say, by young, I mean 60 years of age or younger. And you can go, if you're interested, is it COVID protocols? I think, come on. Why is my browser suddenly lagging? Of course it is. What is it? C19 protocols, I think, is what it is. C19protocols.com. Yeah, early treatment protocols, prevention protocols, physicians/facilities offering early treatment, studies. C19 study, HCQmeta.com, and then the hydroxychloroquine early treatment and prevention of COVID, that one's linked, and then C19ivermectin.com. Those are some of the studies. And, you know, the studies, I mean, Dr. Peter McCullough has talked about this a couple of times. You go to HCQmeta.com. .com, for example, and it reads HCQ hydroxychloroquine is effective for treating for COVID-19 when used early, meta-analysis of 171 studies. And so basically they point out that it's just, you know, what is it, 1 in 2 trillion chance or something now that with all of this positive feedback, with all of these positive results now documented in 171 studies, it's basically statistically impossible to say that you could accidentally arrive at this mountain of positive results. So the notion that, you know, this doesn't work, or that it's some accident of completely accidental that good things might happen is entirely false. So all of the protocols that you'll find floating around are mentioned. They're mentioned in other places, but, you know, they're mentioned here, the, you know, under early treatment protocols, for example, McCullough's early ambulatory multi-drug therapy. And speaking of that, I'm trying to dispel the fear, the myths, the rumors, and all of the fear mongering and stuff. Dr. Zelenko, just after the clip that we just played, you will recall from yesterday's broadcast, if you listened, you probably heard this before anyway, but he said, you know, when Giuliani asked, do you prescribe anything for these young people, you know, because he said it all right there. Your immune system all by itself, unaided by anything, will defeat the COVID. Zelenko says statistically that's the case. And so Giuliani says, would you prescribe something for these young people? And Zelenko says no, because it's not a candy. There are side effects. So just, you know, for people under 60 that don't have comorbidities or existing health problems, pre-existing conditions, no. There's no reason to. And, you know, to take that a step further, Dr. Peter McCullough has repeatedly said that, you know, even by the CDC's data, there is a period of time, 6, 9, maybe 14 days, somewhere in that range. Peter McCullough has been saying 2 weeks, around 2 weeks, that, you know, someone knows they might have this, and the point where they become ambulatory. In fact, I think I have, where is that? Yeah, I have that close by in the pandemic planning scenario, CDC document. Table two. And again, I think, you know, everybody should go, we should really be looking at just at a glance. If we look at what the demographic breakdown of the U.S. population is, 300 and whatever, 28, 30 million people. And we look at how many folks are under the age of 60, for example, I would say even 69 based on the CDC's data. What is the infection fatality rate in the CDC's scenario 5 current best estimate? What is it? You know, under, you know, even so the demographic 0 to 19 years, 20 to 49 years, 50 to 69 years, 70 plus years. So 50 to 69 years, the infection fatality rate is 0.005 according to CDC's current best estimate. That really something to be very afraid about? Again, Zelenko, who has treated hundreds and hundreds, probably in the thousands now, of folks. I'm not sure if he's still practicing. I think there's some issue about that. Of course, you know, he was one of the first people, so he's become a leper in the community. He has to run around with the yellow star. That's kind of a literal deal. Apparently there was quite a bit of scrutiny brought to bear because, you know, I mean, even I was listening to Robert Kiyosaki not long ago, and he was saying, you know, he was talking about stuff and not really on the front lines of saying, hey, something strange is going on here. And he said he got death threats from, you know, establishment types, and he said that's just too far, you know, these people. And he had friends who said, no, they will kill you, so you got to quit talking about this. So infection fatality ratio, again, 0 to 19 years, this is according to the CDC's, you know, if you go to the summary, the COVID-19 pandemic planning scenarios that the CDC put out back in February, most recently updated in September 10. You go to table 2, right? No, I'm sorry. Table 1 is parameter values that vary among the 5 COVID-19 pandemic planning scenarios. I won't go through the scenarios again, but scenario 5 is sort of the, like they say, the current best estimate. So in scenario 5, the infection fatality ratio for each age group, 0 to 19 years, 0.00003, literally. So then why aren't kids in school? The infection fatality ratio, you're more likely probably to be eaten by a shark on a plane than to die from COVID if you're 19 years of age or younger. According to the CDC's data, 0.00003 is the infection fatality ratio according to the CDC's current best estimate. 20 to 49 years, 0.0002. 50 to 69 years, 0.005. 70 plus years, 0.054. Still, you know. And that, I would say, you know, again, as folks like Dr. Peter McCullough have talked about, that is a spike, I would say. You start to look at what's happened in the long-term care facilities, and it just seems to keep coming back to that, which for those who follow and take people like Bill Gates at their word when he says, you know, that last 3 months of life is expensive, and we could either, you know, pay for the last 3 months of life or pay 10 teachers. So we're going to have to choose. And Zeke Emanuel, who says, I hope I die at 75 or whatever, who says, you know, expect this stuff to last for a long time. If we take these kinds of the Malthusian contingent at their word, then, you know, I mean, Bill Gates has been talking about this stuff again recently. We should expect maybe into 2022. It'll be a long time, and who knows for how long. Why? And okay, if that's the case, then why can't we start doing some of this early ambulatory treatment that folks like McCullough are talking about, that has been shown and proven to prevent a mass casualty event in long-term care facilities? That's really where the issue is. That's what is spiking the infection fatality ratio. And where did I see that? That's actually in, yeah, that's in this document, Pandemic Planning Scenarios, CDC's own document. So if you read from the summary of recent changes, there's new data on COVID-19 are available daily, yet information about the biological aspects of SARS-CoV-2 and epidemiological characteristics of COVID-19 remain limited, and uncertainty remains around nearly all parameter values. Okay, well, that's interesting, because that's not kind of how the experts want to couch it. All we hear about is social distancing, masks, contact tracing, and surveillance. And I told you early on, remember when Fauci was in Congress? Well, there are. Coached by, what's her name? And he said, you know, there are a couple of ways to test. You know, the one way is you wait for people to come in. The other way is you go out and you test, you know, proactively. In other words, you know, what you might call surveillance capitalism, with the apps being created and all this other stuff, which Edward Snowden talked about a while back, and, you know, all of the biometric stuff, and, you know, not just the phones, but the devices that Microsoft has and Apple has and Fitbit has, and all of these things that have biometrics, that now there seems to be this pile on to develop technology to incorporate big data to use this stuff going forward far beyond any pandemic. What are the, you know, what could possibly go wrong? Anyway, back to the summary of changes. Listen to this. Even the CDC admits that there's a spike in the infection fatality ratio of, so basically it's kind of a non-issue for every age demographic, unless you're in, I would say it probably doesn't matter too much what age demographic you are if you're in a long-term care facility. And that, hopefully that doesn't scare people. But, you know, these, again, C19protocols.com is, I think, something that everyone should have at their fingertips and be familiar with, and I don't know, probably circulate among family and friends. Back to CDC's COVID-19 pandemic planning scenarios. So, for example, it reads, the paragraph I was reading from, for example, current estimates of infection fatality ratios do not account for time-varying changes in hospital capacity, example, in-bed capacity, ventilator capacity, workforce capacity, or for differences in case ascertainment in congregate and community settings, or in rates of underlying health conditions that may contribute to a higher frequency of severe illness in those settings. But here is, I have an asterisk in my, you know, on my copy, and this is almost all underlined. Even the CDC says, this again, COVID-19 pandemic planning scenario, CDC document updated September 10, 2020. It says a nursing home, for example, may have a high incidence of infection, parenthetically, due to close contacts among many individuals, and severe disease, parenthetically, due to a high rate of underlying conditions, that does not reflect the frequency or severity of disease in the broader population of older adults. In addition, the practices for testing Nursing home residents for SARS-CoV-2 upon identification of a positive resident may be different than testing practices for contacts of confirmed cases in the community. And there's more, but let me just back up without the parentheticals. It reads, a nursing home, for example, may have a high incidence of infection and severe disease that does not reflect the frequency of severity of disease in the broader population of older adults. Even the CDC admits that. But this is not what you hear on CNN because, you know, fear sells, especially when Bill Gates wants to make another boon on vaccines because they're wildly profitable, as he said at Davos in 2019. 20 to 1 return. So even the CDC says that the numbers could be misleading in nursing homes, for example. But we shouldn't be afraid, be very afraid. We should just be informed. Stick around. We'll be right back.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer, excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, KosherTified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the KosherTified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
A video camera converts the picture into a television signal.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Wednesday, December 16th, 2020. Strange things happening all over the place. In Spokane, police to add 4 Tesla SUVs to fleet of patrol cars. Isn't that fun? There's a grant to cover almost half of the $418,000 cost, though. So that's great because Spokane can afford that, except not. And also, speaking of Spokane, there is the story of the – this has been sort of in the works for a while, but Hangman Valley Golf Course – has been renamed to Latah Creek Golf Course. And that's strange because, you know, people have said all along, well, you know, the tribal folks in the area don't like it. And the tribal folks are actually saying, what? This whitewashes the history. Why are you, what? So, yeah. And this, honestly, you know, I'll have to come back to this, I guess, but, you know, I mentioned the book, The Molecular Vision of Life, Caltech, the Rockefeller Foundation, and the Rise of the New Biology, which was cited by True Stream Media back in February, in a video, a stunning admission on the so-called population crisis. It gets back to this. You think that the cultural Marxists were behind the cultural hegemony and cultural assimilation initiative? Oh, no. It's the Rockefeller contingent, but then Carroll Quigley told us that, didn't he? He told us that these guys, this Anglophile network that has actually been at work for hundreds of years, is the driving force. And he said they cooperate with the communists. Sometimes they seem sort of indistinguishable because their goals and their agenda is very similar in certain respects. So, you know, that all dovetails into the biometric stuff. It dovetails into the vaccine stuff. How is it possible? Well, hard to paraphrase very succinctly and capture it all. But again, you know, Lily Kay's book explains a lot, and maybe I'll come back to that. But it's much bigger than, I mean, sure the vaccine, sure the profit motive, power and control. But it's much, much bigger than that. And, you know, this biometric stuff is definitely in view. So I guess that's something that we will explore further. Maybe I'll touch on the Lego thing going forward because it's just really, I don't know. It seems sort of anecdotal. It's kids' toys, but, you know, Lego is one of the big sponsors and proponents of the World Economic Forum initiative to remake the world, you know, the Great Reset and stuff, and they are funding the socialist one worlder school programs and different things like that. So I don't know, maybe I'll touch on that, but we'll definitely come back to this. The confluence of forces that really kind of center around Lily Kay's book and that whole concept, which includes cultural hegemony and all this other stuff, medical hegemony, all that stuff. Anyway, that'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. Homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.